Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, I'm glad I'm here and not in the Gator locker room right now. I don't know if you watched any of that, but you probably didn't, but I did. But hey, we're proud of our team, and I happened to get to go to the game we played them here where we crushed them, and it just seemed like they were nowhere near at our level, but they've peaked. They're peaking at the right time, so y'all didn't come here to talk about basketball tonight? I'm just kidding. Okay, all right. Open your Bibles up to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. We have been talking about God's precious promises. And in all seriousness, what a blessing to gather, to study God's word tonight, to see these precious ones sing and to fellowship together, and to hear what Chris shared about one of our young people is such a great blessing. We have been looking at these promises, and it is pretty awesome to think about all the promises of God that we have. Promise of heaven, and all these are bolded there on your sheet. And so tonight, I just want to talk about the promise of fellowship. Now, really, the lesson tonight, or the time in God's Word tonight, is about the promise of fellowship with God. Let's face it; it's wonderful to have fellowship with others. But if you can have fellowship with God, you're blessed, right? So that is the ultimate, and that's really what we're going to talk about. But the benefit of that is fellowship with one another as well, because we are united in the gospel, and we're going to talk about that as we move through this. But I was thinking about the blessing of fellowship in a church family. In 1765, John Fawcett was called to pastor a very small congregation in Wainsgate, England. Y'all have any idea where that is? I don't either. Anybody know where Wainsgate, England is? Okay. I'm trusting that this is right then. Nobody knows exactly where that is. But he was called to pastor a very small congregation there in Wainsgate. He labored there diligently for 7 years, but his salary was so meager that he and his wife could scarcely obtain the necessities of life. Though the people were poor, they compensated for this lack by their faithfulness and warm fellowship. That's what we're talking about tonight. Now, don't get distracted. The primary lesson tonight is about fellowship with the Lord, the promise of fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship with Christ, fellowship with the Lord. But it spills over into fellowship with people. So John Fawcett was there, and the people loved him, and there was warm fellowship. Then Dr. Fawcett received a call from a much larger church in London, and after lengthy consideration, decided to accept the invitation, as his few possessions were being placed in a wagon for moving. Many of his parishioners came to say goodbye. Once again, they pleaded with him to reconsider. Touched by this great outpouring of love, he and his wife began to weep. Finally, Mrs. Fawcett exclaimed, "Oh, John, I just can't bear this." And he said, "God has spoken to my heart too. Tell them to unload the wagon. We cannot break these wonderful ties of fellowship." This experience, now I'm getting to a point I want you to hear. This experience inspired Fawcett to write a hymn, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." You've sung that many, many times, perhaps. That binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred mind is like to that above. I never knew the story of that hymn. And it was out of the love of a church family, one to another, and to a pastor that was there. and was going to go somewhere else that he wrote that hymn. I just thought that was very powerful. I want us to talk about fellowship tonight, okay? 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "That which you have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us." So there's fellowship among the people, but then he says this, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son." So, ladies and gentlemen, fellowship has as its foundation the fact that we can know God and have fellowship with him. Now, that is number two. We have fellowship with the Lord, and we have fellowship, there is fellowship with the Lord, and we have fellowship of his Son. We're going to look at that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay, go ahead and go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 9. So we know we have fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, but this is an interesting way that it is phrased in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son." So we have fellowship with the Son, but we're in the fellowship of the Son. I tried to communicate that in number two. I didn't do too great of a job, but I'm limited in my space, so y'all got to work with me on that, okay? But the blanks there are fellowship with the Lord, and then fellowship, we are in the fellowship of his Son. That's the second blank, okay? Now, interesting, go to the book of Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 2. And just write this next to number 2 there, because I discovered this, didn't have quite enough room, but it's interesting. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, check this out. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit..." Ladies and gentlemen, we have fellowship, the promise of fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me finish. It says, "And any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." He's kind of asking questions or challenging them for things that he knows are true. So he says to them, "Hey, look, if there's any consolation or encouragement in Christ," the obvious answer is there is. "If there's any comfort of love," the answer is obviously that there is. "If there's any fellowship of the Spirit," and he is saying that there is. "If there's any affection and mercy," and he's saying that there is. Then he says, "Fulfill my joy by being of one mind." So we get the picture there that we have fellowship not only with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, go back up to number one. What is fellowship? It is participation. It means a joint participation together. That's what fellowship is. It's a partnership. It involves someone you communicate with, okay? That's what fellowship is. And we have been honored to have the potential to have fellowship with God Almighty. And he gives us his promises about fellowship. And then the blank there, it also means this, a sharer. So you can take a look at this Bible word, fellowship, and it's the word you've heard, koinonia. You've heard that. That word before, and that's what it means to have fellowship with God. So we have the ability to be in participation, in a partnership, to communicate with, to be a sharer of life with the Lord God, and that is what fellowship is all about. Now, look to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3. This is a verse that we quote often. I think it can be taken, I think it can be used to in the context of someone being pursued by the Lord that does not know Christ, but it is primarily talking to, this is a passage about the church at letters to the churches. And so these are believers. And here's the scripture in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's talking to the church and he's knocking, wanting to come in and have fellowship with believers. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. The Lord wants fellowship with us. That is an amazing thought for us tonight, to realize that it's not just us needing, although let's be crystal clear, we need the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. We're desperate without him. But to think that he would want fellowship with us is an amazing thing. He stands at the door and knocks. I used to give an illustration that showed Jesus knocking on the door of a man's heart. And on that illustration, there was a door. And there was not a doorknob on the outside. There was only a doorknob on the inside. And the point was that Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He knocks on the door of our heart, but he desires to be let in. The doorknob is on the inside. So folks, can I tell you this? The Lord Jesus Christ wants to have daily and moment by moment fellowship with you and I. And it's important that we recognize that and we rejoice in that and that we open the door and allow him in. So just make it clear, there's a promise that the Lord wants fellowship with us. All right? Turn to Matthew chapter 18. First book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 18. And verse 20. Matthew 18, 20. There's a long passage here that could probably be several sermons right here. But look at verse 20 is the one I want to focus on. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I remember being in Zambia, and there was a church planter who was, we were sharing a meal, and he was saying, tell me about your church. And I was telling him about the church, and I said, tell me about the churches here. He said, well, he said, see those people sitting at that table? That could be a church. He said, in many of the places in Zambia, and this particular guy was from Botswana, he said, you know, our people gather together, very small groups, they gather under a tree. Well, let me say something. If they're gathered in the name of the Lord, in his name, then Jesus is there with them, right? So as you gather with other believers, as we gather as a church family, we can know that the Lord is here. I think sometimes because we don't see him physically, and I know this is me, I don't have the presence of mind that Jesus himself is in this room. But he is. The Lord Jesus is here. And he sees us. We used to say to the kids when they were young, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch over the evil and the good. And we told them that when they were on their way to do something, we weren't sure where they were going. The Lord sees where you are. But the Lord is in our midst. And so this is very important, a great promise, his presence is with all believers in his name. So as you gather at the workplace, as you gather with your family, as you gather in several weeks when we have our Love Loud emphasis, where groups of our church are going to go out and do ministry in our city. You know, as you gather in to do the Lord's work, Jesus is right there. Okay? So that's important. All right. Let's look at John 14, 21. John 14. Fellowship with the Lord is tied to obedience. You see this all in Scripture, all in the New Testament. Our fellowship with the Lord, and really you think about it. Think about your children. When they did things that were against what you said, they were still your children, but that fellowship was broken. And until they made it right, until they were instructed to make it right, until they made it right, the fellowship was broken. John 14, 21 is one of the a key verse to memorize. He who keeps my command, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The greatest relationship with the Lord comes in an obedient child, in an obedient believer to the Lord. Now, quickly just look over at 1 John, another verse that shows us. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship is restored in obedience. So that is very, very important. Now, so we have the promise that we can have fellowship with our Father, we can have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But there's a fellowship you're in as a believer that you may not know. Look at the book of Philippians, and we're going to close with this. Philippians chapter 1. You are in the fellowship of the gospel. Paul wrote this book from a prison cell, and the people were concerned about him. And in verse 12, look what it says in Philippians 1:12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And he goes on, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul is in prison in chains. He's in bad circumstances. Now, just remember, repetition is the mother of learning, so I'm going to remind you that if you want to put words on top of these chapters in Philippians, the word for chapter 1 is circumstances. The circumstances can rob us of joy. Philippians is the joy book. How to have joy over circumstances is chapter 1. Chapter 2 is people. Chapter 3 is our things, and chapter 4 is worry. We talked about worry in chapter 4 before. But Paul says to the people there, he says, look, he says, I am in chains, but he said, let me tell you the truth. It's all happened for good. Why? In verse number three, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And so We can endure in circumstances. We have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That fellowship is tied to our obedience. But we also are involved in the fellowship of the gospel that unites believers in carrying the gospel to the world. So, in closing, let me just say this to you. The word in verse 12, I want you to see this. In verse 12, this is Philippians 1:12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things or the circumstances that have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. I have that word circled in my New Testament, my Bible here, and I encourage you to circle it and just write out to the side, to pioneer or to cut. It's from an old word that means to cut, and it's the word used for soldiers that went before the army to cut a way for the army to get through. Okay? And so what would happen is, if they were in bad terrain or somehow that it was difficult for the army, the soldiers to move forward, there were the pioneers that were cutting. Here's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, you know how I'm able to rejoice in my circumstances? I'm able to do it because I am in the fellowship of the gospel, and these circumstances are pioneering the gospel into a new place. So you say, well, I don't know, the circumstances I'm in are not good. They're not easy. I've got a difficult situation at work. I've got a difficult situation in my family. I've got a difficult situation with my neighbors. Do you know what? Instead of putting the focus on the difficulty with your neighbors or with at work or with your family, realize that God has chosen you. You are honored. You are honored to be the pioneer of the gospel into that situation. You're the cutter to take you into that situation and to share Jesus Christ in that situation. And that is the fellowship of the gospel. So we have fellowship with the Lord, we have fellowship with one another, but we're also all a part of the fellowship of the gospel. So you didn't realize it, but you're a pioneer. Now, every one of us have different circumstances that we're in. But sometimes we go through these circumstances and we just think, Lord, get me out of them. But it changes the whole equation when you realize you're in the fellowship of the gospel and the Lord has honored you to put you in that difficulty so that you can cut the gospel into a place it's never been. Okay? That's an amazing truth. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.